This is North Place Church, Durban. We hope as you listen today that you experience Christ, community, and compassion. To learn more about us, visit our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
You know, having the kids with us tonight, I don't know if that's what inspired me, but I was thinking back to when I was growing up. And I was thinking back to what it was like when my parents would make a decision or they would do something, and I would come to them and I would question what was happening, or I didn't like what was going on, and I was the kind of kid who asked a lot of questions. I was that. Any of you have that child in your family? Don't raise your hand too high. They're in here with us tonight. I was just that kid who had a lot of questions, and I would ask why a lot. Did any of you have a child like that? Yeah, that was me. And I remember that sometimes my parents would get so frustrated with all of my question asking that eventually it would come down to mom or dad saying, "Because I said so." Did any of your parents ever give you that answer? Ella, Griffin, do not raise your hands. You know, sometimes as a parent, it just gets to that place, right? I mean, you have no more explanations. You're tired of going around in circles, and you just are like, you know what? I'm the parent, and this is the way it's going to be. Amen. Come on, parents. This is your moment. Can I tell you something? That's biblical. And that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight. There are times as a parent, and there are times that you learn this as you're growing up, where you don't necessarily get all the answers to all the questions. And there are times when the explanations are beyond your ability to comprehend. And there are moments as a parent, and there are moments as a child growing up, that you just have to accept the answer, "Because I said so. It's finished. This is just the way it's going to be." That idea, that concept, isn't just a concept that parents use when they're tired of answering you. The truth is, there are some things in life that are beyond our own understanding. And it's only, kids, you'll hear me say this, and it's the truth, it's only sometimes until you get older that you're able to understand things. And let me let you in on a secret. Even as you get much older, there are still things you don't understand. There are some questions in life that never get answered. And ultimately, the cross was all about God answering the greatest mystery, the greatest question, and just saying, "This is the way it's going to be because I say so." See, the greatest question and the greatest mystery for all of humanity is, how do we escape our sin? How do we escape our failures? How do we escape our mistakes? The truth is, no matter how hard you work, no matter how good you are, you're always going to make mistakes. You're always going to mess up. The Bible actually is very, very clear about it. It says that all of us are sinners. It says that all of us fall short of the glory of God. In other words, all of us miss the mark. There's not a single perfect person in this room. Kids, listen. Pastor Randy is not perfect. Pastor Alicia is not perfect. Mom and Dad are not perfect. You already knew that, right? We all understand that there is no one ever in history who was perfect, except one man, and his name was Jesus. History records that this man, Jesus, lived. He lived a spotless, a sinless life, and ultimately he died. He didn't just die. He willingly gave up his life. He gave up his life as a sacrifice for every one of us because he did what we could not do. He lived a spotless, sinless life. The question for humanity is, how do I escape this? Have you ever done something wrong and you just felt so guilty about it? Anybody besides me? ate you alive, cause you to be upset, cause you to lose sleep, cause you to worry. Every one of us in this room have experienced that. How do we overcome that? How do we escape that? How do we escape our doubts, our fears, our insecurities? The truth is, friend, the way that we escape that is exactly what we are celebrating this weekend. See, Easter is a wonderful time for the church around the world to turn its attention to really what it is that causes us to be who we are, to turn our attention to the sacrifice of Jesus. I love Easter. I love this time of year. I remember vividly. I've had a lot of head injuries, a lot of concussions, so I don't have a lot of memories from my childhood, but I remember Easter. I remember my mother every year, because this was back in the day when church was pretty formal or somewhat formal, and I remember my mother like dressing me in these like god-awful, terrible clothes because it was my Easter outfit. You guys have the coolest parents in the world. Back in the day, I would have to wear this like little suit and tie. I remember having to take pictures in my Easter outfit. But I remember dyeing the Easter eggs. Any of you guys ever do that? Coloring the Easter eggs. I remember having my Easter basket. I remember doing egg hunts. I remember I loved hunting eggs so much that like we would have the egg hunt, but then I would have all these unofficial egg hunts where I would like beg my mom or my older siblings to go hide the eggs. I don't know why, I just loved doing that. And I remember like the dog finding the eggs and eating them before I did. That was terrible. And the smells that would come out of the dog in the days after he ate. Yeah, some of you have lived that out. I loved Easter, and I loved, like, the chocolate bunny, right? Did you guys ever get chocolate bunnies growing up? I loved that. But as much as all of that is great and wonderful and grand, all of that was designed, really, to tell us a story, and the story that it was attempting to tell us is the story of Jesus. It's the story of what he's done for us, and all of those things are fun, and they're wonderful, and they're great. But they're really an Easter bunny and eggs and all of that stuff. That's really not what Easter is about. Easter is actually the story of what Jesus did for every one of us in this room. As you read the Easter story, and I want to encourage you, especially over this weekend, to make time to do that. Make time to do that yourself. If you have children, make time to do that with your kids. It's in the Gospels. You can see different versions of the story. And it's interesting, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you can see different parts and pieces of the story. And tonight we're going to look a little closely at the story in the book of John. But I'd encourage you over the weekend, look at those stories and read them and understand really what it's all about. You know, when we think of Easter, we think of that other stuff. But the symbol that always comes up is the story, the symbol of the cross. And the cross is something that we in the world of Christianity that we hold very precious and very sacred. The cross isn't just a piece of jewelry. It's not a statue that we simply put on our buildings or our signs or whatever. It really is an emblem of what Christ did for us. And it's not a fairy tale. It's a real life story. The problem is as this symbol of the cross is portrayed, and as the story is told, for people who really have never experienced Jesus and have really never experienced what Jesus has done for us, there could be a lot of confusion about the cross, and even the cross can become a symbol of mocking, and it can become something that people just kind of dismiss. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says this: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." In other words, to those who don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the story of the cross, the message of the cross, it's foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Notice that word or those words there, being saved. I want to point that out to you because I want you to I want to take you somewhere in your understanding of the work of the cross and what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus is doing for us. See, oftentimes when we think of the story of Easter and when we think of the cross and we think of what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross, we think of it in terms of a one-time event. We think of it as something that just happened. But the reality is, for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, the story of the cross and the work of the cross is something that is being worked out in our life. It is something that is settled and is being settled. Let me say that again. It is something that is settled and it is something that is being settled. There is a moment in time in each one of our lives when we become followers of Jesus Christ that we accept him as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And once and for all, it is settled. We are a child of God. But I don't know about you, although I grew up in the church and I grew up hearing this message and I grew up around all of this stuff, here I am all of these years later, and although I accepted Jesus as a young child and he became the Lord of my life as a young child, all these years later, I've not achieved perfection. I haven't come to a place in my life where all my problems are solved and all my issues are worked out. I'm still in process. You see, there is a sense in which when I was a young child and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it was settled. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My identity and my eternity was secured in Christ. It was settled. But over the course of my life, there's been an everyday process. There's been an everyday process of me working out what it means to have my identity settled in Christ. I want to read from the story in John chapter 19 of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, because really, this is what Good Friday is all about. Will you read along with me? It's going to be up on the screen. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. You see, Jesus had been brought before Pilate. He had been falsely accused of a crime. Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus. He couldn't find Jesus guilty of anything. Several times he tried to rescue Jesus from being crucified. This ungodly man could recognize that Jesus had lived a blameless and perfect life. And the people, the crowd, the religious leaders of that day, they would not be satisfied. And so eventually, Pilate handed him over to be punished and to be crucified. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had noticed and prepared and fastened to the cross a sign, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that scripture might be fulfilled, that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, that disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked it in a sponge, and they put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received it, Jesus said, "It is finished." I want everyone to say that with me. It is finished. We're going to do it one more time because that wasn't everyone. Say it with me. It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Pastor Randy, why did you read so much of that to us? Well, I read it to you because it's important to me that you understand, the cross, that you understand what happened at the cross, that you see Jesus not as some fictional figure, but as a real life man who went through unthinkable, unimaginable pain because he loved you and he loved me. It's important to me that you read this story and you understand that even in the middle of that pain, even in the middle of paying the price for all of humanity, he turned to his close friend and he said, "Hey, I'm the elder son. You see my mother? I've got to make sure before I die that somebody's going to take care of her." Jesus was a real man. He was a real man. He was a good Jew who loved his mother as the eldest son and wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. This is a real story about a real person. It's not a fairy tale. It's a man who loves so deeply, so passionately, and so fully that he was engaged even until the last minute. Reading the story up to the cross, understanding what Jesus had gone through, and yet even in that moment, he was so mindful as to make sure someone was taking care of his mother. Jesus, noticing that everything had been fulfilled, after everything had been fulfilled, he uttered the words, "It is finished." Actually, that's the English translation to that. Those three words are the English translation to one Greek word. Now, you just thought you were coming to a service tonight, but you're going to learn Greek tonight, okay? I want to teach you all a word. Can you say it with me? The first is te. Everyone say te. Tell. Say tell. S. Tie. Tetelestai. That's the one word that we translate as "it is finished." What's the word? See, that cost me a whole lot of money to go to seminary to learn that word, and you just learned it for free tonight. That one word. Tetelestai, it is finished. When Jesus uttered that word, he was saying everything that has led to this moment is finished. What does that mean, Pastor? See, Jesus and the work on the cross, it didn't start when he was born roughly 33 and a half years before this. The work of Christ started at the creation of humanity. From the time of the creation of humanity and the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden up until the work of Christ on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, there were arguably over 300 prophecies, very specific prophecies about this man named Jesus. Everything in history had been leading to this moment. The rhythm, the drumbeat of history had been leading to this crescendo in the story of humanity. And when Jesus, hanging on that cross, said, "It is finished," he was saying everything in history has led to this moment. And in this moment, I have paid the price. I have completed the course. I have done the work. And it is finished. What was finished? Friend, you see, what was finished was the curse. The curse that was on us because of sin. That word, if you understand it in Greek, and look, I'm no Greek scholar. You can go on the internet and you can look this up really easily. You don't have to go spend a lot of money at seminary, I promise. This word, if you understand it in the Greek, what it means is it's imagine, if you will, this is what we do when we go out to eat in South Africa. What do? We sit, we enjoy our meal, we have a good time. The waiter or waitress, the person who's helping us, they don't come and bug us with the bill when we're finished. They don't serve us our food and then come running up to us and give us our check. They don't do that. What do? They wait for us to enjoy our meal and to eat and to just be there together. But when it's finished, when it's over, you raise your hand, you do this little universal sign in South Africa for bring me the check, right? I had to learn that when I moved to South Africa. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, where's the dude with the bill? And like, the night is going on. I had to learn. Everybody's doing this. I had to learn. But you do this and they bring you the bill, right? And you pay the bill, and it's not until you pay the bill that it's finished. But once the bill is paid, it's finished. It's done. If you try to pay that bill, if you try to leave the restaurant before you pay the bill, there's going to be trouble, right? They're going to chase you down. I've been chased down before. Gateway Mall, I've been chased down before. It had been so long, I'd forgotten. This little lady just comes chasing me. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not a pastor of a local church. No, that's somebody else. I'm kidding. You got to pay the bill, but once the bill is paid, it's finished. Imagine your life and my life. We've been racking up a bill. We've been creating a bill, a debt that we're incapable of paying. But see, the beautiful thing about this word, tetelestai, is not just I've paid the bill now, but the bill is paid and it's being paid. It's paid now, it's paid in the past, and it's paid in the future. This word, it's so hard for us in English to understand it because we think in such finite terms, but this word in the Greek carries this picture of not just have I paid the bill, not just if I paid the bill up until where you are right now, but I'm paying the bill for everything that has come before me. I'm paying the bill for everything that is done to me right now. And I'm paying the bill for everything that will come in the future. Because there is no debt. There is no sin. There is no bondage that will be able to separate people from the love of God from this point forward. Pastor Andy, what does that have to do with me? See, friend, it has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with me. It has everything to do with us understanding that there is no sin that is too great. There is nowhere that we can go that is too far. There is nothing that we can do that is too egregious that our Father in heaven hasn't already provided what is necessary for our life and for our freedom. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was saying, "Because I said so. It's done. It's determined. It's decided. The bill is settled." See, John chapter 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, Jesus was in the beginning. He is the Word. And when God created and he spoke life into existence, and when Jesus spoke, "It is finished," it is all intertwined. It's all entangled. It is Jesus saying, once and for all of eternity, I have done enough for you. There are times in my life that my behavior, things I do, causes me to question, man, how could anyone really love me, much less how could God love me? There are things that I've done in my life that I look back on and I'm like, how could God receive me? The work on the cross was so perfect and so complete that every one of us in this room must settle in our heart and settle in our spirit it's finished. See, when you get that, when you get that, when you get that it's finished, when you get that he's paid for you, when you get that he's provided for you, when you get that it's settled, it creates a confidence in you. It creates a strength in you. It creates an understanding in you where you can live your life without worry, without fear, without doubt. You can live your life fully engaged in understanding that your Father in heaven is more than enough, and he's done more than enough for you. Pastor Andy, you don't know me that well. You're right. Maybe I don't. Pastor Andy, you don't know what I do when no one's looking. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's happened in my life. Perhaps you're right. But the cross, it's not a necklace that we wear. It's not a statue on our building that we hope to get someday when we get special consent. Yes, Lord. The cross, it was perfection. It was perfection. It was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect gift. It's settled. I want you to get that. It's settled. Because he said so. It's finished. Because he said so. Does that mean that I won't sin anymore? Does that mean I won't mess up? No, that's not what it means. But it does mean that it is settled and it's being settled. See, my life begins to change and my life begins to transform because who the Father is creating me to be. Because of his great love for me, because of his great mercy for me, because he chases me down and he continually pays the price for me. See, I choose not to sin. I choose to reflect his glory. I choose to walk forward in him because I recognize the value of what he's done for me. The question for each one of us tonight is, do we really understand the value of what Christ has done for us? See, if we understand the value, if we understand the price that he paid, then doubt, fear, shame, all of those things begin to fade away because I know that he did enough.
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. If you live in the Durban area, we would love to connect with you. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m.